Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Gonna let you hear Dan Zangrilli's comments pouring cold water on all our hopes and dreams from yesterday's broadcast in just a moment. But we are continuing our conversation about stardom and sports off the air. And the comparison between Paul Skeens and Caitlin Clark. And I thought Doran nailed it, hit it right on the head. Like, Caitlin Clark came in, and she's playing better now, but she came in and struggled and was turning the ball over a lot, and she wasn't filling up the stat sheets. That's the way it's supposed to go, where the league is really good, and you've got to earn it, and you've got to earn the respect. Paul Skeens has already earned the respect through just 11 starts of the national zeitgeist he's a big part of. Torrey Lovello says, yeah, no-brainer for him to start the All-Star game a year removed from being drafted. He was in the minor leagues for like the length of a fart, this guy. And he comes in, he's got a 190 ERA. And you brought up another guy who's kind of doing that right now in professional sports. And that's C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, like people don't, like, I don't think people take the time to think about what C.J. Stroud did. I mean, the Texans weren't a good football team. They weren't, a great franchise whenever C.J. Stroud took over. Hell, they went through multiple coaches. They land on DeMeco Ryans on the same time that they draft C.J. Stroud, and he comes in and he brings them to, the playoffs. He is not in the realm of Paul Skeens, Caitlin Clark, or any of those people, but, like, last year, he would be a guy that you're like, okay, like that's where people like Skeens separate themselves. Yeah, he didn't take them all the way to a championship or anything, but from what he did last year, he's the football version of what Paul Skeens kind of is. But obviously, Paul Skeens is better. Even like, so the players that do this and that are younger, I think separate themselves because all the players are on bad teams. That's why. These teams pick 1-1.
Yeah, right.
That's why they're 1-1 is because the teams are usually bad. Caitlin Clark's on a bad team. Has she lifted her team to be competitive? Not really.
They still have a losing record.
They're still not a great team. LeBron James, when he was drafted to the Cavs, they were a bad team. Did they do better? Yeah, they did a little bit better, but did he lift them to be competitive? Paul Skeens is lifting the Pittsburgh Pirates. Talked about over the years as one of the worst franchises in sports. Let's just call it what it is. He's lifted them to be a .500 baseball team. That's why he separated himself from a lot of people, even, in the history of rookies and young people transitioning to the pro level and having a name and garnering respect. He's garnering respect that the Caitlin Clarks of the world can't garner because I think it has to do with you haven't earned it, one, and what is your team doing outside of you?
No one gives a... Ooh, I almost swore. No one gives a crap what you did in college.
No.
You got to come in and you got to be a pro. And again, Caitlin Clark getting better and the team getting better. The Pirates were 500 when Skeens made his debut. They're now at 500. They have a .544 winning percentage since he's joined the team because he's made 11 starts and you got a really doggone good chance of winning whenever he goes out there. He's 6-0, never lost a game, never left a game trailing. You're right. And I look back at the odds last year, since you brought up C.J. Stroud, of the Houston Texans. The Texans going into last season, if you bet on them to win the Super Bowl, plus 20,000, their win-loss total was 6.5. And they wound up winning 10 games. It's really rare to see.
What's their odds now this year?
I'm on it.
What's their odds now? They're plus 20,000 last year. And now that C.J. Stroud has, you know, did what he did last year and heading into this year and them adding some weapons, which we just can really roll into the conversation of Paul Skeens and the Pirates in this offseason, this is what the Texans did. They added some weapons. Let's see what they do this year and what are the odds if you could find it right now.
So the Texans are minus 190 to make the playoffs. So it'd be more surprising than not for them to miss the playoffs, which in 1 year, come on. That's a guy who went from being very good in college to being just as good in the pros.
Yes.
And you've got the same thing going on with Paul Skeens. It is few and far between. And we heard Aaron Judge talk about Paul Skeens earlier on in the show and the reverence he has for him. Juan Soto was like, oh, I might lean into a pitch just so we could see Aaron Judge against Paul Skeens. It seems to me, and maybe I'm reading this wrong, but this is how I am reading it, that Paul Skeens, even these all-stars, because they know how hard it is, are in awe of what he's done at such a young age and so quickly into his major league career, whereas a player like Caitlin Clark, they're not in awe of. They just want to shut her up. Like, they want to put her in her place, and they want to make her earn it. Just like they want to make Skeens earn it, but he has, and she's still working through that process right now.
I think athletes, the way to garner respect as a young player and just as a player in general with professional athletes, show me something different that I don't already know, that I haven't already seen, that I haven't already tried. And I think that Caitlin Clark, and I think she's done a wonderful job. I'm not taking anything away from, not one thing. I think that she is so fantastic for the landscape of sports, not just women's sports, but sports in general, for what she has done. But she isn't doing anything outside of the box that I think that players in her league haven't seen to garner that respect of being like, okay, yeah, she is the dog of the league.
Yeah, Angel Reese has like 30 double-doubles or something. Right. Like, she's actually come in and been really, really good.
Yes.
And Caitlin Clark, again, has been good, but she hasn't been what she was in college.
And Paul Skeens is showing how different he is. And that's how you get respect from other players. And I guarantee you these last couple days, and especially tonight, like, he's going to have at least every single one of the players that are in the All-Star game go up to him and shake his hand and say, you have been doing a great job. Now, if Caitlin Clark was on the Olympic team or if she was on an All-Star team, I don't know if she's garnering that respect right now. I probably doubt it.
Yeah, I don't want to cede my spot in the lineup to you.
Right.
If you're in the All-Star game or otherwise. I am excited about seeing how, we talked about this last week, how the All-Stars, and we know what the kind of vibe is and the environment is, I want to see the reaction of the great players in the game today watching Skeens pitch. Like, if he were to strike out Kwan, or he strikes out Gunnar Henderson, or he strikes out Juan Soto, or if Judge comes up and he strikes him out, or just makes any of those guys look silly on a pitch, I want to see people, and I assume we will, cackling with laughter, shaking their heads in the dugout. I cannot wait to see that. And you're going to have probably Skeens mic'd up at some point. And if he does face Judge, you're probably going to have Judge mic'd up at some point. I haven't been this excited for an All-Star game since 2006, since it was right here in Pittsburgh. Now, this is all fun. This is all great. Dan Zangrilli yesterday was on the show. And I asked him, is this Pirates roster better or worse than their 500 record? Here's what he had to say.
I hate to throw cold water on anything. I'm just being absolutely realistic. What have they shown that gives you the optimism or where you can logically and objectively say, yep, this team is going to be able to win 66% of those games coming out of the chute, because that's what they would need to do. And I just don't see a path.
So Zangrilli said that the team, the roster, is actually worse than the record, that they have overperformed. Now, I disagree. I wonder where people come down on this. I wonder where you come down on this, where Callis comes down on this. And we'll take phone calls at 412-928-9370. We'll give a break to chew on it, and we'll discuss when we come back. Are the Pirates better than their record, their roster, or is their roster worse than their 500 record? You can give us a call on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. You could tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And you could text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we...
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer, a beach bum summer, or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To get money for you. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. Is this Pirates roster better or worse than the team's record? 48-48, straight up at 500, better or worse? I'll answer the question. I think the roster is better than their current record, and it's simple as to why. David Bednar is a better pitcher today than he was at the beginning of the season when he was not pitching up to our expectations for him and his own expectations. That's just one piece. But the biggest piece is this. They have a winning record with Paul Skenes. They are 31-26 since he's been on the roster. 5 games above 500. A .544 winning percentage. With him, it changes everything. And they got him. So I think they're better than their record. And people crush Derek Shelton all the time. Well, if he had done this or he had done that, they'd have a better record. Okay, well, you can't have it both ways. So I think this roster is actually better than the record that they currently have.
I think they're slightly better, but I think they are what their record is. I mean, at the end of the day, they are right where they should be. And it's because of, you know, some of the series we talked about last week of where they could have won, games they could have won or should have won. But I don't have the ERAs in front of me, but if you look at Keller, Jones, Skenes, Falter, look at their ERAs, that kind of says what they really are and what they probably are a little bit better than with, if you have Cabrian Hayes that you're paying money, Brian Reynolds, you're paying money, Andrew McCutchen having a decent year and, you know, Telez finding it. And obviously Nick Gonzalez coming up and hitting well. I would say that they're slightly better, but they are what their record is. Really, at the end of the day, like, that's who they are. It's a 500 team.
Yeah, I don't think that they're much, much better.
Mm-hmm.
I think the 544 number sounds about right. I don't think they're a 600 winning percentage baseball team. And down the stretch, they've got a really difficult schedule. But you also have to factor in, you brought up Rowdy Tellez. He was so bad for so long, and they continued to pencil him in there. You think about the catching situation, playing Yasmani Grandal, Henry Davis, really stinking out loud. Now he's fledgling along in the minor leagues. You know, with Joey Bart, they're a better baseball team. All these things added up together, I think they're an above 500 team. And the record tells us right now that they are a 500 team. Callis, before we go to the phones, what do you think? Better roster than their record or what?
I agree with your point. I think that, I mean, they made the Joey Bart acquisition, which I think has helped them when he's been healthy. I think David Bednar being healthy also helps. And I think that the players that have gotten better, like think about Rowdy Tellez at the beginning of the season versus now, right? You've had those improvements. Brian Reynolds, you know, hit the month of June like he always does. And I think that they're playing better. And they had to get to 500. They were already, you know, like circling.
Yes.
Under two. So,
it's
yeah,
so big they're at 500 at the break, right?
Yes.
Like from a mental standpoint, has to be huge.
Yeah,
like it legitimizes them. Yeah.
Momentum-wise and just, you know, you went out there and you took care of business against a bad team. Like usually they would have found a way to, you know, if it was a four-game series, split that series or even lose that series.
Yes.
Yeah. But they found a way.
Yes.
And that's a morale booster for sure.
It's growth.
And then you could sit there and watch your guys, two of your guys, and one of them being your rookie pitcher, go out there and play in the All-Star game. Like, and rest and try to figure out how you want to attack this next half of the schedule.
I don't want to fixate too much on like the nitty gritty, but just to revisit Rowdy Tellez again, I don't think he's going to hit like he has the last 6 weeks. But if he can hit what his stat line is the rest of the way and just be like a 700 OPS guy, then that means that your roster is better than your record, because one of the reasons why they were in the bleep, one of the reasons why they were digging out of that hole is because guys like him were underperforming significantly. 412-928-9370. Tim in the North Hills first up on this. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Adam. I completely agree with you, and I know a lot of people feel like, oh, they don't spend enough money in this, that, or the other, but I think if you look at this roster, and I think Sherrington was right, I mean, you look at guys like Luis Ortiz, Majinski, you know, they're performing really well. You know, you mentioned Nick Gonzalez, but also Brian Hayes the last few games. You know, he's been reaching base, Tellez. And then I think what people forget, too, is Jared Jones has been out. I mean, they've really been working with a patchwork rotation. And then you take into consideration Barocchi's back, Bednar's back. You know, I think that they're, and I know the second half is pretty brutal schedule-wise, but I just think if they stand pat, I still think they're above 500. And I think if they can add, you know, one or two decent players, I think we're looking at a playoff team.
Thank you, Tim.
How about ever since we've called out Brian Hayes, he's actually been on fire. I love that.
That seems to be the way it goes with this show.
A little bit. I love that.
You got so much sway and power, Doran.
I absolutely love that. It wasn't that I've always thought that Brian Hayes was a good player. And I think everybody has, I mean, especially in the field. But he had been the missing piece. And you see what could happen if he does actually just play up to his standard.
Mm-hmm.
They win games. That was a little, think about it. I mean, during the break, I'll go through what he had done the last four games that they've won. And I'm sure, and I know almost for a fact, he is a huge, significant piece of that.
I think in three of the four games, he's had multiple hits.
Multiple hits.
Multiple hits.
Yes. And they look.
And you don't have O'Neill Cruz at 100%, Andrew McCutchen dealing with the hamstring there at the end as well. And they, yeah, it's against a terrible team in the White Sox. But
it's the, I mean, who knows? They play down a competition.
Oh, my God.
Or, you know, I mean, they lose games like
this. The A's last year, the A's this year. And that's another thing. Like, there are games that they've blown this year. And I feel like with the way the bullpen has been pitching of late, they would not blow it if those games were played right now.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
Because I feel good about Holderman. The last two appearances for Chapman have been good. You feel good now about David Bednar. Barecki's coming back. Majinski and Kyle Nicholas have been good. Joe Block mentioned it on the broadcast the other day. The Pirates have given up 7 fewer home runs in the last month and a half than any team in baseball. That's a pretty significant difference. They're not giving up home runs. The bullpen's been pretty good. And we talk about if the Pirates get into the postseason, how dangerous of a rotation they have. And I'm supposed to look at the Phillies and be terrified? How can I be when you're going to have a good rotation going up against their good rotation? And I get that you're missing Jared Jones, but I trust Skeens. I trust Keller. At this point, I trust Luis Ortiz. They got guys. Kevin and Moon, hello.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How
good morning.
I kind of had, I think Doran stole a little bit of my thunder. I'm kind of on the
50-50 thing. If you look at the measuring cup, they're both half full and half empty. The record is their record, and I think you make a good point about Skeens in the second half. The only fear I have is, you know, how far is they're going to let him go? And then you're making a big assumption that Rowdy Tellez and Key Brian Hayes are going to fall back into mini slumps or whatever. So I think they're right about right. I think they'll hover right around a couple of games under or a couple of games over for the rest of the year. That's just my opinion.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. I am trying to build out a Pirates lineup if they added a guy like Taylor Ward. I asked Sangrilli yesterday, if the Pirates add a player of Taylor Ward's caliber, what percent chance do you give of them of making the playoffs? And he said zero. It can't be zero, Dan. I love you, Dan, and you've forgotten more about baseball than I'll ever know, but it can't be zero when you're a game and a half out of a playoff spot right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in two games out of the second wild card. Like, it can't be zero. They got to 500. They got to this point. They've got a winning record since Skeens and Nick Gonzalez have come up, and then you're going to add a player who's an above-average hitter to a lineup that needs above-average hitters? You're going to tell me they got a 0% chance of making the playoffs? Nah, I don't buy that. But I've built the lineup. You ready for this?
Yes.
Kutch, Reynolds, Taylor Ward, O'Neill Cruz, Nick Gonzalez, Rowdy Tellez, Joey Bart, Key Brian Hayes, and then you still have a bad center fielder. Whether that's Jack Sawinski or Michael A. Taylor, yeah. It's still, that's not great. It's not, I'm not saying you have one of these kind of bats and it means that you're a world beater, the 27 Yankees all of a sudden. But with this pitching staff, that lineup to me is passable.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the Cardinals and their lineup sucks. And I look at the Reds and they got a good starting rotation and they got some electric players, but their lineup doesn't scare me. All these teams are flawed. They're all flawed. I would love to get Michael A. Taylor out of the lineup. You get two bats. Now you're really talking.
Now you're really cooking. You're talking two outfielders?
Yeah, probably. Not that I buy hook, line, and sinker in a Rowdy Tellez, but he has performed now to the point where if you can upgrade at first, that's great, but I'd probably be looking for two outfield bats first and foremost. I think I can get by with Rowdy and with Connor Joe.
What about Connor Joe in the right field and getting a center fielder?
Yeah, I'd be fine with that too. Or Brian Reynolds. I don't know that. No. I want Brian Reynolds in center field.
No, you don't want to move him.
No, I don't.
What's Rooker? Is he? What is he?
Oh, he's a good player.
No, I mean, like, what's his actual?
I have to look at his position by position breakdown, because a lot of these guys wind up DHing a lot.
Right.
And fielding splits. This is how quick the internet works in 2024, Doran. So where is he?
Oh, well.
Where is he playing?
Outfield.
A lot of outfield. Left field, yeah. Mostly left and right field. Yeah. So he profiles as a corner guy. So I've said Taylor Ward. If we're thinking Brent Rooker, I think O'Neill Cruz is hitting third. I got Rooker, who's hit 21 bombs and who hit 30 last year. He's hitting four.
Changes everything.
It changes everything. That is a significant impact bat. And I saw people debating this on social media yesterday. Oh, what has this guy proved? He's only had two good years. He's had two good years. I mean, he had 30 homers last year. He's repeating the performance, but better this year. That's more than enough for me. Had a really bad performance last night, Doran. We have buried this for far too long. Maybe the worst rendition of the national anthem ever last night. We break it down, and I'm going to see if we could sing a national anthem better than this poor woman when we come back. All right, cut the music here, Callis. We got other music to play. What's this woman's name?
Who's Ingrid.
Ingrid? Do we know her full name?
Mm-hmm.
I had it here.
Ingrid.
The woman who sang the national anthem prior to the home run derby last night. And it was the worst, I think, national anthem of all time. Ingrid Andress, who is a three-time Grammy-nominated singer. So she's having a bad day. Because if you go on social media, if you're Dear Ingrid, well, actually, my advice would be just delete social media for a while. But also, I would say the Grammys are having a bad day. I mean, how hard can it be to be nominated for a Grammy if this level of singing can get you a nomination?
Who's broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight? O'er the ramparts we watch.
They're clapping because it's over?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That was awful.
Is laughing at that unpatriotic, or is just the singing of it the way that she sang it unpatriotic and we're allowed to point and laugh?
We're allowed
to point
and laugh. The
way she sang it was unpatriotic.
Right.
I could tell what she was trying to do. Like, she was trying to do that little, like, hip-hoppy, like, you know, rise up at the end of every, like, sentence, and she just wasn't hitting the right notes. And then at the end, she was like, I think she realized she couldn't hit the high note. So she started taking it down an octave to try to make it sound intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was awful. And I was like, it was one of those moments where, like, I was sitting there watching it and I was like, am I the only one that thinks that this is bad? Like, and so I had to check X to be like, I can't be the only one that thinks that this is bad. Or was it good because it's different? I don't know.
Aren't we in a great society now where we can have our opinions validated by each other to make sure we're all on the same page?
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, that's all that happens on social media. Just everyone is a get-along gang, and there's just one prevailing conversation out there in the ether. No, this actually brought America together. This brought America together in a way that nothing else could. And we got a text in here at 412-928-9370 that says, and now I can't find the text, what's it say about the home run derby that she's the big talking point today? No.
Mm-mm.
She did such a bad job that it could have been the greatest home run derby of all time.
Mm-hmm.
They could have awakened Ted Williams from the grave and he could have hit 60 homers last night and she would be one of the most, one of the biggest discussion points today because it was just that bad.
So bad.
So bad.
It's not like they don't practice either. Like, I mean, it's not like that she doesn't have a coach. It's not like that there aren't people that are assessing the situation. Like, she had to have done it in the practice round.
Yes.
And they were like, okay, let's go move forward with it. Like,
but that, I mean, that's what I hate about some of these pop stars doing this this type of performance, because I could tell she was trying to do something Christina Aguilera like, and that even was excessive for that Super Bowl. It's not a flashy show performance. Sing the notes. It's to, you know, remind everybody that America's great. That's
I largely agree. There are exceptions, but you should probably go full missionary with the national anthem.
Yes.
And I am not some super traditionalist in really much of anything, but as far as that is concerned, you can really screw it up if you try to make it your own. And it ain't about you. Just sing the words.
I mean, who's singing tonight?
Whitney Houston could do whatever she wanted to. She's Whitney Houston. Who is singing tonight?
I don't know, but is that pressure or is that not pressure?
Oh, you
it's, you have no pressure, right?
No pressure at all.
Right.
No, the weight of God.
But people are, all the eyes are going to be on you, though. More than they would have been.
Yes.
To see if you mess up.
If she was good, here's the crime of the whole thing. If she was good, no one would be talking about her at all today.
Right.
You might have seen a few tweets get, well, that was a beautiful rendition of the national anthem. But because she was so bad, she's one of the big stories. I'm sure it's on not just the sports shows today, but like Good Morning America and stuff because it was that bad. Can I just give you a couple bars and see if I can do better?
No.
You don't want me to do that?
Okay, probably ahead. Not a good idea.
Why not?
Well, can I just say this opinion then before you try?
Of course.
I think that if you're going to do something like that and try to make it showy, you got to lean into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like she was in a halfway point between trying to flavor it while also staying grounded.
And it
didn't work. I think people should talk about it, and I think it's proper to talk about when somebody screws it up because you can't do that for a song that like is so sacred to this country.
For the
See how she didn't hit the top note, so she brought it back down.
Callis. She didn't hit a single note the entire minute and 20 seconds.
Time. No, she did at the beginning. It was fine. It wasn't great, but it was fine.
At no point was it fine. It was bad from start to finish.
All right.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. That's good.
That's a lot better than what we heard last night.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, oh man.
Sign me up. I wonder what she made to do that, too.
Probably a lot.
Probably paid her money.
Yep, a lot of money.
Real cash money.
She's probably going to make more because you know how people are now, or just, she's going to get interviewed and get asked, get paid to get interviewed about how bad she was, and she's going to make more money off of it.
That's the way it goes. She'll be the Hawk Tua.
Yep.
Who is singing the national anthem at the All-Star game today?
You know who did great was last year's Andrew McCutcheon's mom.
Oh, she crushes it. Oh, my God. She crushes it. She did it before the wild card game in 2013, bring the house down. If they should make the playoffs this year, you do it again.
No doubt.
You run that back. Cody Johnson is going to perform the national anthem. We will effort to find out who Cody Johnson is, and we will tell you when we come back. But the Steelers announced they're doing something yesterday, and I wanted to get Doran's opinion on this because I've seen some varied opinions on it, but Doran played in the NFL for 6 years, so I can say what I think. I really want to know what Doran thinks. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette, his maiden voyage on the Fan Morning Show. I don't think we've had him on before.
I don't think so.
He is covering the All-Star game for the Post-Gazette, and he went around and he talked to a lot of the AL stars about Paul Skeens. So I want to hear what they had to say about the Pirates' ace hurler who's going for the NL tonight. But before we get into that, Steelers announced yesterday that they're going to have two joint practices against the Buffalo Bills before they play the Buffalo Bills this preseason. Mr. Football, do you like joint practices?
Yes and no. Yes, I mean, you're just asking for fights.
Absolutely.
You're just asking for fights, but it does give you the opportunity to have some type of, you know, going against somebody else after a while. After a while, you get sick of going against your own guys, and then that does cause fights as well. But you want to, you know, see some different blood at points of practice, especially like one-on-one periods and things of that nature. You want to, you know, go against somebody different. But they did this last year too, right?
I don't think they did it last year.
They
did
it against the Bills? I thought they did against the Bills before they played them.
Let me double check.
I believe, obviously, they did play the Bills in preseason, but right, they've done this before against the Bills. And
that much I do know. Back when Whaley was GM, they definitely did it.
I can't remember if they did it last year against the Bills. I feel like... No, I don't think they did.
They did not last year.
They did not.
But they have in the past, yeah.
They have in the past. Yeah, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I think that this is what they need to go to just full-time instead of preseason games. Once you start adding games, 18-game season's going to go to 20. You get rid of preseason games, just have like 2 to 3 joint practices, and then you can get all your information from there. And then you could allow cameras. It could just be like preseason, but it'd be more engaging for fans if I could watch a whole practice with the Steelers and the Bills and see one-on-one periods, see inside run, see 7-on-7, watch, you know, routes on air even at that with both of the teams, the Steelers and the Bills, and them go against each other throughout a practice than watch a preseason game.
Yes.
I think I'd be more invested in that.
You should be able to learn more.
Yeah.
I remember last year Neil Brown, before they played Penn State, he was asked, what do you think the strengths of your team are? And he said, I think it's our offensive line.
Right, yes.
But does our defensive line suck?
Right, exactly. Exactly. I think college should do it too. Like, I think Pitt should scrimmage Robert Morris or Duquesne.
Well, so they're just, I'm happy you brought this here, and I want to add a little bit of context. They're doing that in college basketball now.
Right.
Where you can have multiple exhibition games, and then you can have a scrimmage too.
Right.
So multiple scrimmages, multiple exhibition games, because you need to know what you got.
Right. I know we're heading to the college realm here a little bit, but like with college football, I mean, you're going 5 weeks without playing a game.
Mm-mm.
Like, and then you just go right into the season. Like, everybody needs that tune-up game, and everybody usually does that first game of the season, except for, you know, what, West Virginia, Penn State, that's the first game, right?
Yeah, and there's a lot of games in recent years where there are these big made-for-TV kind mm-hmm. of bowl game element mm-hmm. sort of games, which... I don't know that, like, not again to like really niche this thing down, but if West Virginia is ever going to beat Penn State, they'd do it in the first game.
Right.
Because.
Don't know anything about each other.
Right. You don't know anything about each other. You might not know exactly what your teams have. And in the NFL, now you're paring it down to 3 preseason games. And eventually you're going to be paring it down to 2 preseason games. I like it for this year's team specifically because I'd like to see Justin Fields throw the ball against another team.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see Russell Wilson do it. Like, I just, especially for this group, I want to see what it looks like at that point against somebody different. And it's just more evaluation.
Yeah. I mean, just like what, like I said with the callers, like, why shouldn't Pitt, like, in a controlled environment, scrimmage Duquesne throughout a week or even like 4 days and then have a scrimmage at Acrisure so you can just kind of like a spring game? Like,
yes.
Why not? And you can get people to watch, like,
I don't know. I read something recently. Aren't they going to start paying the players?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you might want to get some butts in seats.
Right.
Get some concessions.
Right.
Some beers. Might make some sense. I did talk to Mike Mitchell, bringing it all the way back to the NFL, way back when they did do this with Doug Whaley's Bills. And I said, do you like this? He like freaked out on me. He's like, it's awful. It's terrible. These guys are going to go for my knees. My teammates aren't going to go for my knees. These guys might go for my knees. Like, okay, I can see your point on that. But late in camp, to your point as well, though, we see fights all the time in camp. When it's 95 degrees in the valley at Latrobe, and you got all that humidity, and guys are tired of hitting each other. So you're going to fight either way. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
You have no problem with it?
No.
Me neither. And it's for guys like Caboli, it's something new to write about.
Yeah, it's different. It just makes everything just a lot better because everything becomes redundant and you just want to see some new blood.
Yes, I'm with you 100%. Coming up next, Andrew Destin live from the MLB All-Star Game. We'll talk to him. Fam Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to 7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 90, low 72.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.